The following program is presented by the Far East Broadcasting Company because stories of people living out the gospel with their lives inspire all of us. FEBC, taking Christ to the world through radio and new media. Learn more at febc.org.
How can you answer somebody telling you, is this the end of the world? You cannot, but all you can say that we have the hope, and this hope is not a false hope. And even when we don't understand, we need to trust Him.
From her home in Cyprus, we'll talk with Rita El-Munayer of Sat7 on this edition of First Person. Welcome. I'm Wayne Shepherd, and we'll hear Rita give her testimony as well as report on the recent Beirut explosion that has many people suffering. Before we start, let me thank the Far East Broadcasting Company for helping make these weekly interviews possible. FEBC is celebrating 75 years of gospel ministry to nearly 50 countries of the world. What FEBC listeners hear is always in their own language, and millions respond. To learn more and give prayer support, please visit febc.org. Several years ago on First Person, we met Rita El-Munayer of Sat7, a television ministry reaching the Middle East and North Africa. Rita grew up during the civil war in Lebanon and has vivid memories of the bombings. We're going to replay a portion of that original interview with Rita as she talks about her life, and then connect with her online to get a report of the recent explosion that has made life so difficult for the people of Beirut. Rita starts by talking about her attitude growing up during the war.
I think what happens in your life, you know, like the hardship or pain or maybe the celebrations, your reactions towards what happened in your life makes you the kind of person you are. And some people react in a very negative way. I think I was blessed that I reacted in a positive way. Today, I have a heart for people who are in pain.
Oh, of course.
I have a heart for Syrian children. I have a heart for Syrians. And if you look to the history of Lebanon, the whole war and my insecurity and my fear is because of Syrians. Mm-hmm. And before that, Palestinians. Mm-hmm. And, you know, after that, you know, like when Israel invaded Lebanon. And after that, it's a religious, you know, war between Muslim and Christian. So to have this reaction, like my reaction towards life, that, Lord, I want to serve you. I want to make a difference. I want to love my enemies. They were the enemies for many years. But when I got to meet them and travel around, they're human beings, like people like me. And they're paying the price, the innocent. So when there is a political game, and the innocent always pay the price. And today I can tell that my reaction towards what happened in my life, the positive reaction, is because of Him. He gave me this heart because He knew from before that I will be in Sat7. He was preparing me.
Right.
For this ministry, for this call in my life, to help people around.
But what happened as you grew and as you became a teenager and a young adult? What was life like for you then?
It was very tough life because we come from a poor family and the war continued. And we had a lot of insecurity. The church that I went to was not very active, so I started going to another church.
You were going to a Christian church?
Yes, evangelical church.
Did you believe in Christ at this time?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
I come from a Catholic family, but a committed family.
Okay.
But it happened that those days during the war, the Catholic church where I live was not very active. So I started going to a Protestant church. And there, I connected with people like me, like insecure. I started to go to youth meetings before I went to the church. Connected with people like me, and I saw that they have security, even though they lived like me, you know, during the war. Mm. And started bit by bit, you know, like knowing more about the Bible. I knew about Jesus, but I didn't know a lot about the Bible. And my questions started to, you know, like they were elaborated more and I started getting answers, but not a lot of answers. I mean, the beauty in our Christian faith that to love God, even if we don't have all the answers.
Mm-hmm.
And I prayed, you know, like the what do you call it? The salvation prayer, or
yes,
I invited Jesus
prayer
to come into my life.
Sure.
Yes,
yeah.
I was like 15 years of age. And I thought that after I prayed that prayer, everything's going to be okay. That, you know, like life is going to be happy ever after and all my problems would go away. And I treated, I think, Jesus like an ATM machine. So you just pray and then now, you know, all your problems will vanish. But it's not true. I think the difference was that the problem stayed and some got worse. But the difference was that I could feel him with me. So this is like the teenage years. And then I started working with radio. And after that, Sat 7.
But television meant a lot to you when you were that little girl, right?
Yes,
and
yes.
You would watch television in the bunker, I understand?
That's right, yes. I think what dad did those days to make my sister and I forget about what's happening around us, because it was very loud and bombs and killing, and we are in the bunkers doing nothing. I mean, you know, you're there and there's nothing, no electricity, no candles. Or he did two things. Either he told us stories when he was around, or when he wanted to go, because he's a fighter, he's a soldier, he will bring a television set and he will hook it to the car battery because there's no electricity.
Sure, yeah.
And he will let us watch television. And we're sitting in front of the television, black and white set, and watching, I don't remember what, but I think Egyptian soap operas, you know, anything.
There was no Sat 7 in those days.
No. And each time the bombs are heavier outside, the volume is higher. So we will be distracted from all what's happening outside and immerse ourselves in a world that maybe is fake. Of course it's fake, but it's different than the world.
It was escapism for you.
Yes,
yeah.
It was an escape. It was a refuge in a way.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing that my sister and myself now, we're both in television and we're both in Sat 7 because we knew since our early years the effect of television in our lives. So we were thinking all the time, so what about if it's a Christian television, a television with a message? And this is what we're trying to do, both of us.
Right.
Especially regarding children. She is in the Sat 7 Kids, you know, channel.
I love those stories. I love how God used that early experience to really propel you into what you're doing now. That's just
Amen.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I am like more than grateful, and I can see how God, you know, like moved, you know, from those years when I was in bunkers. I am happy with all what happened in my life, with the pain, with the ups, with the downs, because they made me the person I am today. Otherwise, I will be somebody else.
Wow.
So I thank Him for this.
That was Rita El-Munayyer from First Person's interview a few years ago, telling us her own personal story. Rita is now the CEO of Sat 7 Television and joins me online from her home in Cyprus. Rita, good to see you again. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, and thank you for having me.
You are now the CEO, so you have that responsibility for Sat 7. We want to talk about what's going on in Beirut, and I know you have staff and studios there, but let's talk first about what Sat 7 is and what it does.
Well, Sat 7 is a bouquet of different satellite channels for the people of the Middle East, by the people of the Middle East. And our vision is to see a growing church confident in Christian faith and witness serving the community, contributing to the goal, to the good of society and culture.
Mm-hmm.
And our vision is to provide the church is wounded today, the church that maybe a lot of people are leaving the Middle East. This church, capital C, our mission is to provide to this church an opportunity to witness to Jesus through inspirational, informative, and educational programs. So we have four channels. Two Arabic, one for, you know, like our family, Arab viewers, and one for the kids, 24/7. And then we have a Turk channel, Sat 7 Turk, and we have a Pars channel, Sat 7 Pars, speaking Farsi to the land of Iran and the neighboring countries. And we have a brand also in these channels called Academy, where we're trying to assist millions of refugees with education while they are in their tents or at home.
Well, Sat 7 has such a great story. I know you have millions that you can't count who are watching and listening and maybe actually becoming believers. I know you have testimonies of people becoming believers because of the programming.
Beautiful testimonies, especially and in particular from Iran. This is a country with a lot of restrictions, as you well know, a lot of, you know, political conflict, where it's a theocratic country and people are fed up. And it's a beautiful blooming church from there. And it says that, you know, like the church in Iran and the church in Algeria are both of them the fastest growing church in the Middle East and North Africa. So the testimonies we hear from Iranians and the testimonies we hear from Algerians are outstanding. You can see how God, by the power of His Holy Spirit, use the programs we produce. Sometimes, you know, like we people, we are hurt. I mean, now I can't believe that the producers in Lebanon are trying to reach out and convey the good message to people who are hurt, because they're hurt themselves. But it's with the work of the Holy Spirit, we're seeing miracles. And today, if I look around, yes, Lebanon, I'm Lebanese. Maybe I'm biased. It's a tragedy there. It's a disaster. But at the same time, seeing people that wanted to go beyond their hurt, this hurt that they carried for 20, 30 years of the war, of restriction, of economy falling now, devaluation of the currency there. Refugees, we have 1.4 million registered refugees in a nation that has 4 million people. And now this, and COVID-19, of course, it's really a disaster. And all I'm thinking, and with the programs that we're producing, with our producers on the ground, we're praying for miracles. The problem sometimes you get a lot of questions from COVID-19 and now the disaster, you know, like on the ground in Lebanon, or when you see Yemen and Iraq and Syria. I mean, the region is not at peace. And you just struggle with questions with the viewers. Where is God when it hurts? Where is God in the middle of the pain? Is it the end of the world? Are we punished? And some of these questions you cannot answer. I mean, how can you answer somebody telling you, is this the end of the world? You cannot, but all you can say that we have the hope, and this hope is not a false hope. It's our hope in Him. And even when we don't understand, we need to trust Him. And this is our big challenge today.
And we'll continue to learn about that challenge in Beirut with Rita El-Munayer, CEO of Sat7, coming up.
I so enjoyed listening to the message that FEBC shared on the internet recently. Although I cannot attend church or any meetings during this epidemic, I am finding peace and learning so much through your programs. Praise the Lord.
FEBC is dedicated to taking Christ to the world through radio and new media. To learn more, please visit febc.org. That's febc.org. The Far East Broadcasting Company, until all have heard. My guest is Rita El-Munayer, who is CEO of Sat7 Television, reaching the Middle East and North Africa. Rita, you are so passionate about reaching souls for Christ with your programming of Sat7 on various channels and many different languages. Maybe we can come back and talk more about that, but I want to talk about what's going on in Beirut. You've mentioned it earlier, both the COVID-19 crisis as well as now this terrible, devastating explosion has taken 180 lives in Beirut, at least that I know about. And I understand it's displaced like 300,000 people from their homes. It's a terrible tragedy. And I know you have staff and studios there. What do you know about what's going on in Beirut?
Can you believe that we felt the blast here in Cyprus?
Did you?
Yeah, it's 6 o'clock in the evening. I mean, from Cyprus, the island of Cyprus and Beirut, Lebanon, there is a 25 minutes flight.
Okay.
We're very close. And I'm just entering the building, you know, like to visit a friend, and the whole building shook. And it was a bit of what happened. And, you know, in Cyprus, there are a lot of conflicts also between the Greek and the Turkish. So the first thing came to my mind, oh, maybe there's something, you know, Turkey invaded or something.
Sure. Happened. Some terrorism act, yes.
Yes. And then I started like receiving on my smartphone, you know, like a picture of what's happening. And the first thing, reaction, it's so interesting that the memories of the war just come back like this. Mm. I lived war. I mean, I grew, you know, like in the war in Lebanon. I was born during the war in Lebanon. So all these flashbacks of the war, myself and many Lebanese witnessed in the 70s and 80s came, you know, like suddenly to me. I couldn't stand. I'm trying to call my family. I have my sister there. I have my brother there, his wife, you know, my nieces. I have, you know, Sat 7 family. I have friends. I couldn't reach people because the line were cut. And this is where I felt like, oh, it's a really, you know, serious situation. I mean, this is a devastation that we thought we will never experience again in our lifetime as Lebanese. It's a really great tragedy for our country, which has been badly hit, as I said, by 9 months of protests against the corrupt government, a banking crisis, massive currency devaluation, growing unemployment, 1.5 million registered refugees in Nablus. But in all this, and with all, you know, like your mixed feeling, anger, fear for your loved ones, you will see people standing up and wanting to make a difference. I mean, the first day when I heard, well, the first minute that I heard that this what happened in the explosion, I called, you know, one of my programming manager here in Cyprus, and I said, now we should start praying, putting on the crawl on our Sat 7 Arabic, you know, prayers for the people there. And then communicated with Lebanon, and the director in Lebanon says, Rita, I'm devastated, of course. We don't know what's happening. I fear, you know, for my kids. But at the same time, this is the time where we should stand by the people who are suffering.
Yes.
And immediately we started a program. The second day after 24 hours, first program, it was kind of you're not alone, trying to pray with people, trying to ask the church leaders about their interpretation of what happened, how we can encourage people. It was great, you know, having some church leaders in the studio and on Skype or on Zoom. And the second day we had a beautiful, let's call it like a spiritual party where we praised and worshiped the Lord. And this, I want to tell you, the building where Sat 7 is in Lebanon oversees the whole Beirut. So we took all the equipments and the set on the roof of the building, and we start worshiping the Lord and praying over Beirut.
What a
and
sight.
It was really emotional thing. And this is, you know, the director did it deliberately, saying we are overseeing the city. You can see the city, not in detail, but it's devastated, you know, like behind us. And we're worshiping and praying and thanking the Lord and trying to encourage, let's say, millions of people. Yes, 300,000 were, you know, like homeless now in Lebanon. You have, you know, like more than 4,000 or 5,000 injured. COVID-19 hospitals cannot, you know, cope. Hospitals cannot cope with the flow of, you know, patients there. But remembering also that we're not alone. We have Yemen with all the, you know, problems that are happening there. The, you know, like the poverty and a lot of people homeless, you know, a lot of people without work in Iraq, in Syria, trying to give the hope that we have in Christ for the people who are watching.
Well, we're so grateful for what Sat 7 has been doing all these years, and now to stand with the people of Lebanon and Beirut during this horrendous time. But as you said earlier, you're seeing that people are asking deeper spiritual questions because of what they're going through. And this is an opportunity for the gospel. I know you've launched an appeal for Lebanon, #ForBeirut, and we'll put information about that in our program notes. But it's the spiritual harvest that we're looking to, isn't it?
It is, yes. I mean, you, if I go back before COVID-19 and before the blast, you know, like in Lebanon, this is a region where it's full of conflicts. You know, like the Christianity was born here. We are the children of Christianity and, you know, like the roots of, you know, like Christianity. Antakya, it's just in Turkey. Now, where is Antakya today? This is where the first, you know, like disciples were called Christians. You look to the region and you see the conflict where a lot of Christians leaving, a lot of people lost hope with their government. And I'm not talking just about Lebanon. We're still maybe blessed in a way or another that we have a freedom of religion in Lebanon. It's the only country where the president is a Christian. But we're surrounded of, you know, like countries that they're not. And you have the biggest war in the region between the Shia headed by Iran and the Sunni headed by Saudi Arabia. And we are in the middle. So this is, these are nations, they are lost, you know, all hope, government, education, employment. I mean, with the rate of unemployment in North Africa and now in Lebanon. And here you are, what can you do then to try to help people, give them the spiritual support they need?
Yes.
Giving the church the platform to be outside the walls that is a lot of times, you know, around the church in the Middle East. You have a platform on the satellite where they can see who are the Christians. They can hear what is the Bible. They can know this love that you only experience it when you meet the person of Jesus Christ, because it's not promoting Christianity more than introducing these people who are hopeless to the real hope that we have in Christ. And it's beautiful opportunity. I mean, you will not believe the feedback. I mean, some person said, you know, like it's a testimony of a person, a refugee that, you know, like went from a country to another. And he wrote to us saying, I lost everything, but because of you, I gained him. Mm. And this is a beautiful testimony, one of a million of people, you know, saying that I gained everything because of you. And then another person from Turkey, through you, I learned about Christianity and that it's not a religion, but a personal relationship with Christ. Isn't that beautiful?
They're getting the message.
Yeah, or another person, after 2 years of watching you, I gave my heart to Jesus. Thank you for answering my questions. Other in Iraq, where it's not safe to go out, you are our church in our home when it's not safe. And our children are safe with you, learning from you and growing to love the Lord.
Rita, I know you feel so strongly about reaching out to people spiritually during this time. Talk to me from your heart.
Well, if I recall like my old years when I was living in Lebanon, you know, like I remember the war when I was a child and then lived the war again when I was a teenager and again when I was an adult. And it's devastating and I was afraid all the time. But I didn't care if I had food on the table or not. I didn't care if I had clothes, if I had the shelter. All I cared about is somebody to tap me on the shoulder and tell me everything is going to be okay. Somebody just to remind me that I'm not alone. And this is what we're trying to do with SET7 programs. We're trying to tell them that they're not alone. We're trying to tell them it's okay. Tap them on the shoulder and say everything is going to be okay. Why? Because we believe in our downs, he is there. In our ups, he is there. In pain, in death, he is there. And this is what we try to convey to millions of people. The hope that we have in Christ and praying every single day that this hope will be transformed one day to be faith. And then deep inside, when we don't have answers to our questions, at least we trust. At least we trust.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Well, Rita, you and SET7 are on the front lines of ministry, and we're so grateful for you. We pray for you. We're excited to keep our listeners up to date on what's going on there in the Middle East. You don't have to live in the Middle East to pray for it and to reach out in addition to support Beirut and what Beirut is going through specifically right now. So thanks for the update. God bless you, and I look forward to talking again sometime soon.
Amen. Thank you so much, Wayne. Thank you.
We've been speaking with Rita Elmu-Nayer, the CEO of the gospel ministry SAT7 Television. Rita joined us from her home in Cyprus to talk about the crisis in Beirut, where many of her colleagues with SAT7 are located. To learn more about what SAT7 is doing to address both the humanitarian and physical needs of those affected, please visit firstpersoninterview.com. We'll have a link and more information there, firstpersoninterview.com. Rita started her career with a Far East Broadcasting Company doing children's programs on radio there in Lebanon before God called her into television. You might be surprised at all that FEBC is doing around the world, but you can learn more at febc.org. FEBC, until all have heard. Now, with thanks to my friend and producer Joe Carlson, I'm Wayne Shepherd. Join us next time for First Person.